This is All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, originating from Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery, from coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235. And let's talk about wine. Again, the phone number to call is 646-727-3235. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
All About Wine. You're on.
All About. Yeah, I'm calling in. I'm on the. Not through Skype. I'm calling in on cell phone.
Wow. Okay.
For the last few minutes, I have been trying to get Skype to recognize BTR, and it hasn't. You know. I know. I've been going absolutely nuts here trying to get it connected. I've tried our BTR host 1, BTR host 2. I actually left you a message seeing if you can, you know, I left a message, a voice message, and through
on
the
Skype.
I
don't even have Skype on. Okay.
BTR Skype. Con 1 Cinchcast, which I have no idea what that is. But every time I tried to call that, it said no answer for BTR. And I tried to call BTR 1, and it said it didn't recognize me. Would you like to join? And I go, yeah. And nothing was working. Absolutely nothing was working. So I grabbed a phone and called in through host and connected that way. But I haven't been able to, you know, Skype and BTR just are not friends tonight. So I don't know.
Interesting. I didn't realize that.
I wasn't like I was out just goofing off and then came in late. I've been trying to get on and I saw you were there, and I don't know if you were looking at it. I was playing with the with your settings there. I was clicking on your the green room. I was clicking on the microphone. Yeah, that was me playing with you there. And I was able to do that, but it would not give me, you know. So I don't know, but I'm here, and I don't know why Skype is not working. So Skype, if you're listening, you're probably not, but if you're listening, something's wrong.
So it's not Blog Talk Radio this time. It's probably Skype.
I think it's Skype. Okay. Yeah, I think Skype's on it because it's giving me a whole bunch of weird messages, you know, no answers on Blog Talk Radio, which I don't know. Why would it not answer? I don't know. But
strange.
That's real strange. And everything was fine. I always test everything like an hour before. So if there is an issue, I can go in and take care of it. But
the echo test. We should get you set up with Google Hangouts. That's what I used to call in. And if there's an issue there, I used to use Skype, but Skype is just like it uses a lot of resources, and I don't know. I just lost it, I guess, with it. It's too much of a, you know, it has to have video, it has to have this. And so I found out about Google Hangouts a long time ago, and I just decided to use it. And that's what that phone number is on the studio, and you can send text messages and you know, like it's a regular phone. So I thought, oh, I'll just use that then to call in, and it's free also. So Google Hangouts. Yeah, it can use your Google contacts if you have Gmail. If you have contacts in your Gmail account, it can bring those up. It can make a, you know, contact people in your contacts, or you can dial regular phones, or, you know, whatever. And that's what I've been using on here. That's what I've been using on here for a long time. I rarely have Skype loaded anymore because it's just a bigger program than what I need, I guess. I don't know. It's just, one.
I mean, it's got its fingers in everything here. Once you use it once, and all of a sudden it's there on an icon. It's always popping up saying updates for Skype and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's the other thing.
I'm satisfied with what I have. And Google Hangout. I'll have to check that out and see if convert over to that. And obviously it's compatible with Dog Radio because you use it.
The difference is you're not going to connect like a Skype user directly to Blog Talk Radio like you do with Skype. You just dial the host number, punch in your information, and go on like that, and then it's like using a phone. I mean, you could do that like you're doing now, but you would do it through Google Hangouts on your PC, so on your computer. But that's just an option we'll have to look into. Maybe
Skype gets irritating at times, so.
Mm-hmm. It's good to chat. I mean, if I thought, well, maybe I need to load Skype up in case he chats or something. I didn't even have it loaded, so I need to go look at that. Where you're at on there.
We have
all these frantic messages.
I mean, we hardly ever do it anymore. And and I jumped in there and I called you through Skype too. When I connected to you, I saw myself on there. Immediately picked up a video and dumped me down in the corner and had you there. And then your voice message came in and says, "I'm not available. Leave your message and I'll get back." Type thing.
Right.
And I'm going, "Why?" I'm not a video caller. I'm just
we'll check the other one out.
I don't know. But we're here.
It'll work. Yeah, we'll try the other method next time. See how that
works. Yeah, I'll develop that this week and see if I can't get something else up. Welcome to All About Wine, not discussing Skype and all that other stuff, although we didn't get a chance to talk before, so we had to talk on the show.
Normally we start like 15 minutes before the show starts. It's like, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. What are you drinking? And I type stuff down. And, do we have any guests? That kind of thing, as in case there's a last minute thing. And talk of topics, and I get Twitter set up. And now we just burned a few minutes doing that.
Tonight we couldn't do that because of the issue you just talked about.
Yeah, so we did that on air. Wow, isn't that interesting? Yeah.
So we're 15 minutes into the show, which we would have done 15 minutes before.
On with the show. The show must go on.
And see if I can't connect better on that. So we have to also mention the weather, how bloody hot it is, and how no rain we're getting, and how we are getting the drought that California had for the last 5 years. Boy, how could they put up with a drought like this for 5 years is beyond me. We've had, 3 months, and we're,
fires breaking out.
The trees and plants around the winery are starting to feel the effects. You're starting to see the leaves and stuff, water. And
we're kind of on a delay here, I think, because but I can hear myself echoing a couple of seconds after it on your side. But when I was doing my show earlier, JT, the owner of the station over there, is in Colorado, and it was 43 degrees there this afternoon. They're expecting to get down into the 30s tonight, and then they're expecting snow tomorrow. How does that happen? And I looked at Winter Haven, where I'm at, or Central Florida, and it said 95. It's 95 here, and it was 43 there, and they're expecting snow tomorrow. I was like, are you kidding me? And
yes,
I checked the weather, and sure enough, I was like, oh, my gosh, it's ridiculous. 71% humidity, 43 degrees. I was like, oh. He said it was raining, and then tonight it's gonna freeze, and it's going to turn into snow tomorrow. Possibly. So, we are. So did y'all not get the memo what season we're in? I mean, we're no longer in that season.
That's right. That's
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Well, yep. I was coming home, and I was at the corner of State Road 52 on Moon Lake Road, which I turn on there. I was waiting for the light to change, and the car has a temperature gauge on it, and it showed 100 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
no.
I'm going, no, it can't be 100 degrees, but what it felt like, though, it just... But this is, it's, well, you know, I say it's hurting the plants. There's a big plant in front of the winery there, and that you're starting to see the leaves, you know, being affected by lack of water. And in the back, I've got some plants and stuff. And all of them are you know, they're being affected by lack of water. I have a great big muscadine grapevine growing by the sign and the tree, and that thing's starting to thrive. But of course, we've said this over and over again: grapevine seek water. So you know, it's not affected at all by it. It's just it's out there seeking water and starting to do well. So
wow,
I don't know. It's but
interesting.
It's snow. I mean, this isn't snow season. It's, you know, we're almost at the 1st of May here.
So, you know.
Yeah. Well, my daughter lives in Ogden, Utah, just north of Salt Lake City, and the forecast there yesterday was for snow for them. So, now I don't know. I don't want snow, but I don't want this weather here we're having either. So, oh, well.
Need a happy medium.
So, I got some stuff to talk about, not a lot tonight. No, don't have a guest, but I got a few things to talk about. And then we got a couple of events this weekend, so that might talk about that. But as always, what is coming up this next week on to have wine with, what foods are you going to do and what wines are you going to do and all that stuff. So let's start out. Today is National Prime Rib Day. I mentioned that last week, so you can get yourself prepared for it. So National Prime Rib Day. I haven't had prime rib in a long time. Tomorrow is Arbor Day, by the way. So, you know, donate a tree or hug a tree or something for Arbor Day. It's also National Blueberry Pie Day. Saturday, National Shrimp Scampi Day. Sunday, it's National Oatmeal Cookie Day. I like oatmeal cookies. Good. Monday is May Day. First day of May Day, which is always a good day for light wines and stuff. Also, May is the beginning of National Barbecue Month. It is National Mediterranean Diet Month. I actually have a month dedicated to National Mediterranean Diet. Wow. National Hamburger Month, National Salsa Month, and National Strawberry Month. May is Strawberry Month. That just seems so odd considering we get strawberries so much earlier here in Florida. But, yeah, oh well. Also, Tuesday is National Chocolate Mousse Day. Wednesday, it doesn't tell me, but Thursday, National Hoagie Day. And then, of course, on Friday is Cinco de Mayo, and also National Enchilada Day. So that's a week from tomorrow, but you can start getting geared up. Actually, I found out that we in the United States celebrate Cinco de Mayo more than the Mexicans do, so it's becoming one of our national days for some reason. But that's your food pairings for over the next week, so you can dig out the wine and have yourself something. But National Prime Rib Day today. That's good. That's a good thing. That's a few odds and ends. Don't have a lot of stuff for you tonight, which is probably good because we got started late, and that's just another bad thing here. Got some odds and ends for you. Different things to talk about, as always. Let's see, where is that? Okay. Okay, Classic and Contemporary Blue Vineyard BB announced a complete label upgrade this year. And a plan of reinvestments in the winery and the brand, the company says. They're trying to make it relevant again. BV was the big player on the market a number of years ago. When I lived in California in the 70s, BV was everywhere. And for some reason, they seem to not be as noticeable, but made some great wines. The winery will debut its new label designs for several of its different tiers, and it does have different tiers. It's got the BV George de Latour Private Reserve, its Napa Valley Collection, and the Rutherford Cabernet Sauvignon. The label designs are historic designs, which BV has long been recognized with the BV logo on it and featuring an upgraded and more contemporary look to try and enhance the ability for it to stand out on store shelves. Also, they say it's better to let you know about the BV history, legacy, and all that stuff of the Grand Cru, which has been produced since 1900. The winery's logo and black lettering now will hover over a newly added BV silhouette in a larger typeface. And an elongated, brighter white label pays tribute to the classic, elegant design of the historic label. So they're changing it. The BV labels used to be a little bit smaller. Now they're going to cover much of the front of the bottle and change the look on a little bit. Well, BV is good wine. Beau Vineyard's been around. They do have different tiers, they call them here. The ones that most people pick up are the lower-end tiers, but they've got some great wines. I always loved the BV Cabernet Sauvignon and the George de Latour Private Reserve. That has been fantastic forever, and it's a little bit more expensive, but still, it's one of the best Cabernet Sauvignons out there on the market, I think, for the price, even though it's a little bit more. The Rutherford from the Rutherford Vineyards is also very, very good. So, and let me put this over to the side so I won't get in my way. Did you know, as part of National Wine Day on February the 18th, we talked about that, pollsters at National Today asked 1,000 Americans what kind of wine they prefer to help them unwind, pun intended, W-I-N-E, unwind. Survey results revealed that 20% of Americans prefer red wine, 18% prefer white, 13% prefer a sparkling wine, and 11% prefer rosé and dessert wines. And no, that does not add up to 100%, but that's the results for on that. You just see 23, yeah, that's really low, far from being 100%. But red wine is still the preferred one from the ones they ask on this, but still 18%. I'm so surprised that the 11% is the low end of that. I expected that to be a little bit higher on that when I saw that. But anyway. New products, as always, this time again, I always find these new products on a magazine I get in. What magazine? Let me tell you, just to give credit to where it belongs, Beverage Industry Magazine, new products that are out. This is Awning, A-W-N-I-N-G, Awning Estates Cabernet Sauvignon. It is... Golden Frog Production out of Austin, Texas distributor. It is being distributed to select markets around the country. Golden Frog Production introduced its inaugural imported wine, this Awning Estates Cabernet, which is imported from Apalta, Chile. The wine is a blend of 81% Cabernet Sauvignon, 15% Syrah, 3% Merlot, and 1% Petit Verdot. You know, 1%, I guess, for coloring. The 2014 vintage is aged for 1 year in French oak. Is 13.5 ABV, alcohol by volume. It is a silky on the palate, they say. Cabernet tannins are complemented with the Syrah intensity. The Merlot adds elegance, and the Petit Verdot gives length and a refined aftertaste. So, you know, 1% of Petit Verdot gives length and fun. Oh, well. Available in select markets, 750 milliliter is suggested at $17 a bottle. That might be good. $17 a bottle is a reasonable price, too. That might be pretty good. I'll have to check that out next time I'm at a wine shop. Another new product. This is distributed nationally, found on the internet at backpack-wine.com. Wine on the go. Source Code Beverage out of Oak Brook, Illinois, announced the national rollout of Backpack Wine. It's a line of canned wines. Backpack Wine is offered in Cheeky Rosé and Snappy White, which are packaged in 4 packs of 250 milliliter slim cans that have a suggested retail price of $19.99. That seems a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, $19.99 for 250 milliliter cans. So you're getting 1 liter for $20. Yeah, but it's in a can, so I don't know. It's 11.5 ABV. Backpack wines are made with grapes from the Waluke Slope in Washington State. So Cheeky Rosé and Snappy White in a can now. If you're looking for something different and new, it does seem a little expensive. I saw this, and I wanted to share it with all of you out there. Bottled water becomes the number one beverage by volume in the United States. It's a decades-long streak of growth. Bottled water achieved a major milestone in 2016 when it surpassed carbonated soft drinks to become the largest beverage category by volume in the U.S. This is from a marketing corporation, New York-based. Total bottled water volume grew from 11.8 billion gallons in 2015 to 12.8 billion gallons in 2016, an increase of nearly 9%, making it the third year of accelerated growth. Billion gallons. 12.8 billion gallons of water we buy. Wow. The per capita consumption exceeded 39 gallons in 2016, while intakes of beverages and sodas and stuff slipped to 38.5 gallons. They expect bottled water to reach 50 gallons per capita by the middle of the 2020s, within the next decade. 8.6, this is single serve segment is the largest. It raised by 9% to reach 8.6 billion gallons. All other segments, sparkling water, office delivery, home delivery, stuff like that, also reached growth in 2016. Both domestic sparkling and imports advanced at double-digit rates, although that's from reasonably small bases to start with. They expect bottled water to continue building on a strong history of enhancement while putting more distance between itself and the rest of the beverage industry. 12.8 billion gallons of water in 2016 this country bought. That boggles the mind. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My engineer said something I didn't hear. Yeah. Oh, that's right. They don't have faucets at home. They can't get it from home, so they have to buy a bottle of water. It amazes me. 12.8 billion gallons of bottled water. That's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. Beverage Dynamics, the March-April issues came out with their 2017 growth brands. I mention this every year, tell you about what's growing, what's jumping up, what's changing and stuff. And this year, we had a new one. Now, these are in 9-liter cases. So everything I talk about on this is 9-liter cases, which is equivalent to 12 bottles, 750 milliliter in a case, or 1.5 in a case. That's how they measure stuff, 9-liter cases. So number one over this year, up from last year by 21.2%, is Black Box. Constellation Brands Black Box, which is becoming very, very popular. It's been growing constantly for the last 5 years, and it is still growing. The Black Box Cabernet Sauvignon actually is not bad. The Black Box Cab is pretty decent. I tell people when they come into the wine, there's nothing wrong with wine in a box. It's basically the same stuff you're buying in a bottle, only it's cheaper because it's in a box. It's great for people who live by themselves or who are the only one in the household drinking. And it is just overall a good way to save from throwing away wine if you're not drinking it real fast, which, you know, what am I saying? How can you not drink it real fast? But it's not going to go bad. It's in a box with a bladder around it, and it collapses on it, so you're not going to get the air on it. So it's going to last you a little bit longer. So it's a good thing to do. I mean, it's really will serve its purpose well. So Black Box is number one. That's followed by Boda Box, and that's number two. That's supplied by DFV Wines. Apothic, E.J. Gallo, is number three. 14 Hands, St. Michelle Wine Estates, next. Josh Sellers is next. Kim Crawford by Constellation Brands is next. Then we've got, now these are wine fast track brands. These are the ones that are jumping up there. Now some of these you may not know yet, but they have done the biggest jump in the past year. Over every one of them over 10% jump in sales, some of them up into the 20s. So these are ones you might want to check out. People are finding them and finding them appealing. You may also, and I'm not going to just give you the top 10. I'm going to run down the names of these real fast here. So if you want to find any of them that you might think would be appealing to you, do so. I'm not sure if the red, white, if this is just the brand that's coming out and all of them are good and they're just being discovered. I have no idea. They don't break it down like that on this list. It just shows the sales and how they're jumping up. Meiomi by Constellation Brands, Meiomi. I'm not familiar with that. Have you heard of that?
Yeah,
La Marca by E.J. Gallo Winery, although they've bought so many different things out that then. Oyster Bay. A lot of people are coming and saying they discovered Oyster Bay. You know, it's a good wine. Cupcake Sparkling Wine by the Wine Group supplier. Nobilo, N-O-B-I-L-O, Constellation Brands again. Mionetto, Joel Gott, as part of the Tranchero family estates. William Hill is Gallo also. Matua, Treasury Wine Estates puts out. Starborough, another by E.J. Gallo. Seven Daughters, I've seen that one out there. Line 39. Chateau d'Escasson, E, D, with a little mark, E-S-C-L-A-N-S, Esclans, Chateau d'Esclans, by Shaw Ross International Importers. The growth on that over the past year is a whopping almost 70%. So that might, you know, people are buying that a lot, so that might be something to check out. The Prisoner. Wasn't even around in 2013, 2014, no numbers on it, and yet it's jumped 27% over the last year. Whitehaven, Duckhorn Vineyards, Duckhorn Wines are popping up there. Baron Finney, Dutch Family Wine and Spirits, and Petite, P-E-T-I-T-E-P-E-T-I-T. Michael David Winery. So those are fast track wines. Names, honestly, a lot of them I've never heard of. A lot of them there that are new, but they are being bought. They are being found. Do we credit the millennials? Do we credit what? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. But those are on the fast tracks. Those are the ones that are starting to jump up. Those are the ones that are doing real well. Rising wine, rising stars. Here's another list too that is starting to take off. And I will quickly read you this list because some of these have really jumped up. Number one is Dark Horse, and we've seen that out there. Yes, number one here. Yeah, 19 Crimes. Treasury Wine Estates. I think I've mentioned that before on the program. 19 Crimes. It's supposed to be really good. The Dreaming Tree. Vinvault. V-I-N-V-A-U-L-T. From the change from 2015 to 2016 on Vinvault is 700%. It is obviously somebody's found that, and it's good. Chloe, The Federalist. I've had The Federalist. I like that. The Federalist is a good wine. Ravage, or Ravage. I don't know how they want to pronounce it. R-A-V-A-G-E, Ravage. Was not even in the books or even in the market 2013 and 2014. 2015, 10 9-liter cases. 2016, 169-liter cases, which actually gave it a change of 1,500% increase. Baso del Sol Sangria, for you sangria lovers out there. Couple from E.J. Gallo here is Mia Dosia and Prophecy. Handcraft is another new one. Freak Show by Michael David Winery. Prophecy by E.J. Gallo has jumped up 341%. Cherry Blossom Cellars, part of the wine Bronco Wine Company. Torn Gore Vineyards. Rossitello. Kung Fu Girl. And the Velvet Devil. All of those are Constellation brands, and all of those have been rising up on sales, not even out there a couple years ago, and now they're selling. Carnivore, C-A-N-I-V-O-R, Gallo brand. Strawberry Sparkletini is another new one. Alverde, Piper Hatsik Champagne, that's been around for some time. La Lusa Prosecco, which is Italian sparkling. Opici or PC Sangria, O-P-I-C-I, Opici Sangria. The La Lusa and Opici are both from Opici Wines. Flat Rock, Grand Passion, Saldo, and Saved, both Constellation brands. Columbia River Landing, Bronco Wines, Liberated, Jackson Family Wines, La Charmelle, Verde Rosa, and then Boom Boom, Chateau Smith, and Eve. All three Constellation brands and all three improving over previous years and not here a couple years ago. So there's some another list of ones that you might check out. They are all starting to starting to show some growth and all that. And just for fun here, this E.J. Gallo Winery says they want to thank the distributor partners for helping to make their brand growth award winners. Rising Star Awards, Carnivore, Cabernet, Dark Horse, Mayo Doso, Prophecy, Vin Vault, Fast Track Awards, Apothic, Iomarca, Starborough, Whitehaven, William Hill, and Established Growth Awards, New Amsterdam Vodka, Liberty Creek, and Barefoot. So all under the Gallo name and umbrella, if you will. My computer, since I'm not using my computer, just shut down on me. I don't know if I'm still on or if Mike's there or anything else. Yep, everybody's still
there. Oh, there you go. Okay.
Stinking cricket. Oh, speaking of cricket, I've been seeing stuff that's saying that the locusts are supposed to really be bad this year. That
great.
We're going to get a lot of locusts, which, you know, is that all the noise we hear at night and in the trees, and when we walk by, they all shut up, and then they start again and all that. But a 7-year locust supposed to be hatching or something like that this year, so we're supposed to get a lot of locusts, so... I don't know. They don't bother me. They freak out some people, but they don't bother me. Yeah, my engineer just said in the background, they bother me. You know, she doesn't like bugs anyway. So, wine suppliers of the year, the brands that they're doing, Woodbridge, Black Box, Claude Dubois, Rufino, Kim Crawford keeps popping up there. I'm going to have to check out that Kim Crawford. Naomi, Jay Roguette. Mark West, there's, you know, a lot of the names that I've just mentioned here. Wine Established Brands Growth. The first one, no surprise to anybody, Barefoot Cellars. It blows everybody out of the water. The 2016 sales, now this is, again, 9-liter cases. 2016 sales at 19,504,000 9-liter cases. The next closest one, Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, is only 9,750,000 as opposed to 19 million for Barefoot. Liberty Creek is third. Kendall Jackson, Menage de Troy, Rufino, Barefoot Bubbly, and that's not even including the Barefoot. The Barefoot Bubbly is a different category. Jay Roguette, Mark West, Taylor Dessert, Real Sangria, that's one you see all the time. Simi, Noble Vines, and Decoy by Duckhorn Vines. These are the established growth vines that are popping up and doing a good job. So, red blends are still going very well. This article says red blends are the big one. I always ask people, number one selling wine in this country, Chardonnay. It has been continuously. Number two, I ask people what it is, and they'll guess different things. But someone finally says Cabernet, and I always say Cabernet Franc. And they go, no, Cabernet Sauvignon. And I'm saying, you know, they are different. You can't just say Cabernet. And then I tell them, I'm not going to ask you what number three is because none of you will get it. And so they start guessing, obviously. And nobody ever gets it. But number three is red blends. Red blends have just jumped up there in popularity. 14 Hands from Washington is one of the big ones. St. Michelle Wine Estates is doing two million cases in 2016 of red blends. That's just, you know, one of them. 10% growth overall from 15 on a lot of these. So red blends are really taking off. Blends, for summary, red blends have caught the eye and taste of people all around this country, and they're jumping on it. And premium wines are also jumping out there too. Wines that are starting to come back a little bit, and wines that you're starting to see more of and that are starting to sell more, which we hadn't in the past, but which are coming up again, is number one, Chateau Saint Michel. You hear about it every once in a while, but they're actually, you know, jumping up 4.5% from previous year on sales. Claude Dubois, J. Lohr Estates, Frexenet, Frexenet's the black champagne bottles and stuff. Sagera Viodis, and that's part of the Frexenet family. Santa Julia, or Julia. I've heard it pronounced Julia, and I don't know if it's supposed to be or not. Black Stallion and Soleil Mimosa by Southwest Wine. So those are the comeback brands that they're talking about for the year. Here's something that is also Constellation Brands. They want to thank the people for acknowledging them. And they have their list here of Kim Crawford, Naomi, Woodbridge, Simi, Svedka, Ravage, or Ravage, Dreaming Tree, Rufino, Nobilo, Rosatello, Tom Gore, Black Box, Casa Noble, Mark West, Claude Dubois, The Prisoner, Saved, Saldo, High West Distilleries, Serpent's Bite, that's an apple cider, J. Roger, Taylor, The Velvet Devil, Kung Fu Wine, Boom Boom, Chateau Smith, Eve, and these are all part of the Constellation brand, which, yeah, they're big. They're big. I don't think they're quite as big as Gallo, but they're big. And that's it. So there we go on those things. Interesting issue. Always love it when they come out with the growth brands and all that. They talk about not just wines, but they also talk about spirits and beers and stuff and what's growing and all that. So they always also give ratings to wines in the back, and they're talking about Malbecs this month, and some good buys on Malbecs, $11, $10, stuff like that on Chilean and Argentinian Malbecs. So it's good source for stuff. Get these every month, and there's always a good source for stuff. Beverage Dynamics, one of my favorite magazines that I get. Well, let me go into a couple of things I want to say here before I let Mike tell you about what we're doing this weekend. And let's see if I can find my note here. There it is. EU, European Union, wine consumption has fallen down. It's fallen behind Asia and part of the United States. China is expected to become the world's second most valuable market by 2020, which represents 72% of worldwide wine import growth. Wow. This will make China a main driver in the global wine market and shift it away from European Union and the United States somewhat there. Clearly, two countries that are really driving consumption right now is U.S. and China. Wine consumption in the United States is expected to reach $38.6 billion by 2020. Almost pales when you start looking at it to water, doesn't it? While in China, wine consumption will climb 39.8% to $21.7 billion. compared with U.S. $15.5 billion worth in 2016. So growth is very different. It's really shooting up. Europe is a fraction of that now. China is really jumping in. Hong Kong wine consumption projected to grow by 4.23 million cases within the next 3 years. Hong Kong, you know, I mean, you got to realize how small Hong Kong is. Rosé consumption in Hong Kong is particularly low. Hong Kong is really into the red wines, and so they're mainly getting wines from the Bordeaux and Burgundy regions. California is shipping a lot there and stuff like that. So a big, big market there in China and Hong Kong, that area there. I believe Hong Kong is China now, aren't they? They've taken over, and they are China. But it's just an enormous market over there on those. Another thing I want to read you here or talk about just for a little bit. I saw this, and I thought this was a little interesting. I don't know if I can find it. There it is. How to drink wine the right way, according to scientists. And I read through the article, and I said, oh, they're not really saying anything. But they do say some stuff in there that's interesting. The article starts out by stating that wine is spoiled grape juice. It's old squished grapes mixed with yeast to get you drunk. Well, I suppose down to the very basics, you can say that, but you can also break down any food you eat down to the very basics. But wine gets a lot more to it, the biology, chemistry, psychology, and all that stuff that goes into the glass and that comes out with it. This is saying that, you know, a few things you should do when you to enjoy a glass of wine. It doesn't matter if you don't know anything about wine. It's just a matter that you enjoy it. And that's really what the whole article goes on to say is you know, you, if you enjoy it, that is the key to it. And I tell people that all the time. You know, you don't have to know a whole lot. It's two types of wines in the world, the type you like and the type you don't like. And if you like it, you drink it. And if you don't, you don't drink it. And everything else is just this puff. But it's always fun to know the puff. It's always fun to enjoy that. In fact, I'm teaching a class Sunday, and that's what I teach for 3 hours is puff. You know, people come in there and they like a wine and they're going to drink it. And no matter what I say to them, they're still going to drink it. But if they know the puff, it just makes it that much and more enjoyable. So the article says, you know, you smell it, and you know, humans are really bad smellers overall. I mean, compared to rats or mice, we can smell about 350 things compared to maybe 1,000 that they smell. But we have better brains to put it into words and to enjoy it. Not that we, you know, you don't walk up to food and smell it and, you know, ooh, and walk away. But we do somewhat, I suppose. That helps enjoy the olfactory sense of wine is very, very important. And once you become used to different wines, it becomes even more enjoyable. Lots of other examples you can think of how smell. And also, if it smells bad, you know immediately that you shouldn't put it in your mouth. The tongue can detect 6 basic flavors. And that's it. Everything else is in your nose. And so because of that, it's very important to smell it. The tongue will relay senses. A lot of times people will come in and say, oh, this smells sweet. And you can't. That's a taste. You can only smell, or you cannot smell your 6 basic tastes. But you can enjoy a lot of the wines that you think are going to taste different because of the smell, and that happens a lot to people. So But basically, the bottom line here is that just enjoy it. You might smell all sorts of stuff and everything else. You might just smell grape juice, but the bottom line is, if you drink it, you enjoy the wine, then drink it. One sip leads to a second, which leads to a third, which leads to a second bottle, which, you know, goes on and on. So whether it's Franzia or Carlo Rossi or an 1893 vintage that you happen to have a case of, if you like it, drink it. So that's something I wanted to share a little bit with you here. It goes into science stuff here, which not quite as good as some of the science stuff, but it was still interesting. We have events this weekend. We have two events this weekend. So I am going to let Mike tell you about our two events this weekend.
Okay. Hold on just a second. I was just bottling some water for my new company. And let's see. Okay, good. I got
yes,
I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this 12.8 billion gallon deal. I mean,
no.
I got 2 5-gallon I got 2 5-gallon containers that I haven't used from the last hurricane because it really didn't do anything. But I had them on.
Yeah.
You know, I went bought those big heavy plastic ones from Home Depot. I still got them sitting out here, and I'm like, gosh, you know what? That would make quite a few little water bottles. Now I just need to get the little water bottles. I guess I can reuse them.
And then pop.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Add a buck.
I can take the labels off. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Put them when you work, and then when people go, oh, I'm thirsty. Here, only a dollar.
A dollar? Are you kidding? Oh no, I'm not shorting myself out of this.
No. $2, $2.50.
Plus delivery fee. If I go that low, I'm charging a delivery fee. Okay. This weekend, you have two events coming up. One is Saturday, and one is not Saturday. It is Sunday. There you go. So Saturday is 29th and 30th. Wow. Y'all are going to be busy.
Wow.
Let's do Wine Fest real quick, and I'll be right back. Hold on just
coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
That's right. April 29th at Florida Estates Winery, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Music will be provided by Constantine. That is live music, and Alex. Huh, I didn't know. I haven't seen Alex. Okay. Constantine and Alex will be there. It's what?
His son.
Oh, okay. Ah, well, there you go. Okay. Cool. I saw a little addition there, and I was like, oh, Alex, did I read that wrong or something? But yeah, Constantine and son Alex will be out. So providing music, live music entertainment during Wine Fest, put on a really good show. And like I said, some of the products and vendors, if you've been to Wine Fest, they'll be back. And there's food there. There's all kinds of handmade items, some just all kinds of brands and things that people make themselves. I just wanted to give them credit to the vendors who do come in there at every Wine Fest. I was thinking about this when I was going through the list here, that, you know, they put their time into this, they set up, they do this, and you know, throughout the Wine Fest, and you know, hats off to them and for doing that day in, day out, week, every other week, in and week every other week out, and however that however you want to put that. But you know, thank you for participating in Winefest and doing that. It's just to visit the vendors, do some shopping. It's a lot of fun. It's a great chance to pick up unique gifts for friends and family members and pick up something for yourself. It's going to be a great weekend, and the weather's going to be beautiful under the giant oak trees, and the music is great, and you can enjoy a glass of your favorite wine. So come on out to Florida State's Winery this weekend, and there's more information towards on the exit that we have that will give you the address again and phone numbers and all that kind of stuff. So what else? Wine class is on April the 30th. Please call to reserve a seat. We'll give you that phone number in just a second here. You can join Florida State's winemaker, vineyardist, cellar master, and tasting expert, Ron. Yay! Clap, clap, clap. As he shares his experiences and educational knowledge of wine in a detailed wine class. It's a lot of fun and a great way to learn something new about wine. Some of the topics covered are a brief history of wines, grape varietals, the grape diseases, glass styles and uses, cork history, evolution and uses, oak aging. There's a wine tasting and rating of wines and a sampling of the wines and a discussion. It's located at the Florida State's Winery Tasting Room. Please do RSVP and contact the winery at area code 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113. And check out Winefest on Saturday, the 29th, and Wine Class on Sunday, April the 30th. And it's a great time. And I believe, I forgot what the things were, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. is the Wine Class. Okay, so Sunday is the Wine Class, 1 p.m. to 4, and Wine Fest on Saturday is 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Did I confuse you? okay. yeah, check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's a great 3-hour class, and you learn a lot, and you just come out knowing a lot more, you know, about wine than you could ever imagine you would learn about. It's just a great fun class. So come on out. What else? We have the tip jar this month is for Florida Skunk Rescue. That is Florida Skunk Rescue.
They are so sweet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I'd never heard of. I mean, are they pets or what? Is that what that is? It's a
pet.
Skunk rescue? Or did they rescue them in the? It's what?
The Florida is one of the few states in the nation that actually lets you own skunks. A lot of them have restrictions and stuff, but Georgia, the skunk has to be white with some brown markings because the wild ones, they don't want people to catch wild ones and try to domesticate them and all that. And, you know, but, right. Yeah, they're sweet. They come out. The Florida Skunk Rescue will be out there. I don't know if they're going to be there for Woofstock or not, but they will be there for the Pasco Pet Fest in October. And you can come out and pet a skunk, and they're litter trained and all sorts of stuff. They're really sweet animals.
Wow. All right. So come on by and add a little something to the tip jar on your visit to Florida State's Winery anytime they're open. And it doesn't have to be, you know, Wine Fest or Wine Class time, but just come by anytime this month and add a little something for Florida Skunk Rescue. I never heard of that. Maybe I need to get out there and get educated on having Oh, it does say that they will be at the Pasco Pet Fest coming up the first Saturday of October. So,
first Saturday of October. I don't think they're going to be at the Woofstock. I don't think there's a
skunk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of Woofstock, be sure to save this date and be sure to be at Florida State's Winery on May the 20th. It's a big event. It is the third annual Woofstock that is coming up. We'll give you more information Probably next 1 or 2 shows, we'll try and get you some more details. October 7th is the 5th annual Pasco, which is a county here in Florida, Pasco Pet Fest. So that's October 7th, the 5th annual Pasco Pet Fest. And then October 28th is the 4th annual San Ann Art and Wine Fest. So Wow, there's a lot of stuff coming up. These are major events too. These are
big events. They're all very good events. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
come on out, and we definitely see you this weekend at Florida State's Winery for the Wine Fest on Saturday and Wine Class on Sunday. Remember, RSVP for the Wine Class on Sunday by calling the winery and let them know and all that good stuff, and you'll be glad you did. It's very, very entertaining and educational. Check it out.
It's fun.
What else? Okay. Do you have any other there was something else I was going to add about the water thing, but God,
I know that.
I still can't get over the amount of water.
Yeah. I mean, wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, I drink bottled water. I don't know why, because it seems like tap water to me, but who knows?
Everybody does. Do you have any water? Yeah, I got one.
Yeah.
When you start thinking about it, you're going, oh my gosh, just
somebody had a meme, one of those things where they have a picture of something and then there's like a little quote on it, like a meme, you know, on Facebook or whatever, and it showed some little kid drinking out of water hose, and they said, "Do you remember when we used to do this?" I go, "Yeah, I do. I don't do it anymore. Why not?" $2 for a bottle of water now.
12 billion gallons in 2016 was sold. 12.8 billion gallons.
That's ridiculous.
Hold up a gallon jug of milk, okay? A gallon, 1 gallon jug of milk, and start pouring into those little bottles, those little water bottles, and multiply that times 12.8 billion, and then start thinking about all the plastic that comes in those things and what we're doing with those. So there you got another issue. And oh my gosh, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. That's an interesting statistic. So I wrote all that stuff down. Okay. I guess we will.
In the 1970s, when Perrier, the French bottling, first introduced into this country.
Oh, yeah.
And from 1970 to now.
Took off.
I know.
Yep.
I know. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, just go out and turn on the hose and drink out of the hose. I mean, but.
Exactly. Well, you do that at the winery, the wine will come out of the hose or something, I guess.
The wine comes out of the hose. So that's why I like it so much.
Next Thursday, definitely. I have to go back to work, and it's one of those things. It'll be come on out, and we'll see you all next Thursday on the show. Will be May the 4th. So May the 4th be with everybody. We'll see you all then.
May the 4th.
And
Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you. Yes. Yes, it is. Y'all have a great week, and keep drinking. May what?
May Day, Monday. That's when you dance around the maypole.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be back. It is. It's a busy month coming up. And over there as well. We'll see everybody May 4th. Thanks for tuning in. 7 p.m. Eastern time next Thursday. Be here, Blog Talk Radio. And have a great week and keep drinking wine.
And
we'll see you all next time. Thank you for listening.
I can't go into the green room with you, Mike, to say goodbye. So I'm going to say goodbye now and let the closing close. Closing will close.
Actually, you could. I could drag you in there, but that's fine. I'll go ahead and do the show.
Be able to. Well, let's try that. And if you don't hear me, then I'll know. Thanks for listening to us, y'all. See you next week.
Okay, bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, originating from Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridastateswines.com or call 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.